Let us now look at a few case studies that will explain to us the concepts that we have learned in the previous sessions. In the case one, we will now look at seeds or seed manufacturing company and what exactly were the challenges that they faced. Messrs. William George and Company Limited, which dealt with the business of manufacturing and marketing pesticides and seeds. In 2007, the company introduced a new hybrid tomato. The marketing plan was prepared well in advance. The technical team conducted large number of field trials and demonstrations. There was absolutely amazing coordination between the technical team and the marketing team. And the new hybrid tomato seed did very well in terms of yield and customer acceptance in the southern part of India. So in 2007, when the company launched the hybrid tomato seed into the markets, especially in that of southern India, they looked at a lot of factors that could impact the performance of the seeds. There were field trials, there was absolute coordination between all the departments, and this led to a success of this particular type of seed in that market. Now, a similar effort or similar enthusiasm was shown, and somewhere in 2008, the company decided that they needed to expand their market to other portions of the country. In one particular state, the sales manager decided to overlook the field trials and demonstrations and testing the product on the local areas or the local fields. The technical department obviously was not that happy, and it came out that the hybrid tomato, though it met with initial success in that particular area, by the end of the season, many performance-related complaints had come up to the company, and they faced a lot of product returns and dissatisfied customers. Here it is important to notice that field trials, demonstrations, and similar activities that are conducted by the technical teams in specific geographical areas help us understand how viable a particular seed will be in a specific climatic condition. The sales manager in this particular case did not take into account the impact of climatic conditions of southern India and the climatic conditions of other portions of the country, which can impact the seed's viability and performance. And thereby, when he overshot the technical team, or rather bypassed them and directly introduced the seed into the market, the farmers though got an initial success, but the other factors of the environment, the other factors of the agricultural sector in that particular area impacted the seed's performance in a very bad manner, and it came out with a lot of issues and dissatisfied customers for the company. The second case is more or less about fertilizers. Rashtriya Chemicals and Fertilizers is one of the biggest fertilizer manufacturing companies in the country. Their fertilizers like Ujjwala Urea and Sufala are one of the most used fertilizers in our country. There are also certain industrial chemicals that Rashtriya Chemical Fertilizers come out with, which are methanol, nitric acid, tormic acid, and sulfuric acid. Urea as a product is currently under price control from the government, and hence Rashtriya Chemical Fertilizers do not have a lot of control over pricing of the product. Phosphatic and potassic fertilizers continue to be under indirect control of central and state governments. Again, here RCF does not necessarily have the final say when it comes to marketing of these kind of products. Now, another challenge from a marketing perspective for RCF is that our agricultural industry is dependent on monsoon. And specifically during monsoon, the fertilizer requirement increases. And if the monsoon is not that great in several sections of the country, the demand falls. So let us look at how RCF has overcome these challenges and kind of marketed their products in a better way to become the RCF, the big manufacturer of fertilizers that they are today in this country. From a pricing perspective, the fertilizer being an input, an essential input for the agriculture industry, the price is fixed by the government. We have seen this in our fertilizers session, that the pricing for every fertilizer product is fixed by the government. Whatever expenses in terms of transportation, storage, manufacturing, and even the return on investment is taken care of by the government by way of subsidies. And there is a specific capping for all these expenditures that the company can incur. Any expenditure that goes beyond this is completely borne by the company and it eats into their profits. The basic component of the complexes is purchased at a controlled rate from government and company adds the margin to it. The traded and imported products are purchased by the company and are sold on commission basis here. So the pricing is definitely not under their control and they have to rely on what the government rules and regulations stipulate as far as pricing is concerned. Packaging, as fertilizers are not as harmful in comparison to pesticides, their packaging is pretty simple. They are packed in high density plastic carry bags just to ensure that environmental factors do not change the chemical compositions or rather create some unwanted reactions and make the fertilizer ineffective. Specifically in case of urea, where the nitrogen content is very important, if atmospheric conditions impact the urea, the nitrogen stored inside the chemical component will release in the form of gas and the soil will not be able to retain it. From a promotional standpoint, RCF has undertaken a lot of aggressive promotional activities ranging from cable TV, regional TV channels, agricultural programs in various TV channels. For example, there is a DD Kisan, there is Krishi Darshan and similar programs in various states and even in terms of their local language. RCF has seen to it that they get involved or their ads are placed in such programs and such channels. One of the most important interactive activities in terms of promotion that RCF carries out is the free land soil analysis. Like we have seen in our lecture earlier, that fertilizer requirement can be understood only when the soil is analyzed for its nutrient capacity. Now, when the farmers get a free soil analysis from a company like RCF, not only does the farmer benefit by gaining knowledge about the soil's condition, RCF gets a platform to directly market their products to these farmers. By showing their soil analysis and their reports, they can actually become the influencers who can suggest what kind of fertilizers the farmer has to go for. Then there are other things like posters and leaflets and danglers in specific rural outlets. Sample plots is also another great marketing initiative from RCF, wherein there are certain sample plots in several areas which uses RCF fertilizers and they actually show a demonstration of how much yield output increases by using fertilizers from RCF. Apart from this, there are seminars, group meetings, discussions with progressive farmers and influencers in specific areas. On top of it, there are also sales promotion schemes down the channel. So there will be sales promotion schemes for distributors, there are sales promotion schemes for retailers, and even the benefits are passed on to farmers. So the distribution perspective, in terms of distribution, RCF has almost 6,500 dealers all over the country. Now the number may not seem that great, but looking at the condition that we need to also look at the last mile farmer in the remotest village of our country. But still, RCF has managed to reach out maximum possible limit when it comes to reaching out to the last mile farmer. There are various channels of distribution. There are areas where RCF directly reaches out to the farmers. At times there is a dealer in between, or at times there is a warehouse which directly caters to certain retailers and then comes to the farmers. Depending on which state, which kind of conditions, what is the business environment in every state, RCF changes its distribution mechanism to suit that particular area. We need to also remember here that transactional or transportational or distribution related cost is also capped by the government. So in this, specifically in this arena, it is important for RCF to curb its cost. And that is why various different channels of distributions help them. Especially the first channel that we see here, wherein RCF can directly reach out to farmers, helps them in actually eliminating the intermediaries and thereby reducing their costs further. The land soil analysis campaign that RCF runs for its farmers helps in giving them a direct access to these farmers and probably selling them through a direct marketing channel. What are the challenges that RCF faces? We already know about the seasonal sale. Since we are a monsoon dependent agricultural industry, depending on the season, the demand of fertilizers increases and decreases. Since RCF do not have any control over their pricing, they have to have excessive constraints on their expenses, and at certain extent these constraints may also stop them from innovating and entering into new arenas. The company also needs to make farmers aware about the use of fertilizers and how to increase productivity and how to increase the quality of the produce. So this basically means that RCF also has to undertake training programs for the farmers. This may not necessarily be possible for RCF at every location because the cost of reaching out to that location would be very high and they would be incurring cost over and above the subsidy that the government would be giving them. They also face challenges from spurious products, wherein there are local small-time manufacturers who will manufacture a similar looking product as that of RCF. These spurious products at times are very difficult to be differentiated from the original RCF fertilizers. So in this case, this is one major area where the sales of the actual original Rashtriya Chemicals and Fertilizers product fall short and the spurious products are being used. Another challenge when it comes to spurious products is that the people who are purchasing do not necessarily understand that what they are purchasing is a counterfeit product. They may consider that this is an RCF fertilizer, and if the counterfeit product does not give them that kind of result, they will blame RCF for a product that RCF has actually not marketed to them. Also, RCF is coming under a lot of pressure from its competitors like Zuari and IFFCO, which are coming out with better products, who have better expenditure capping, and who can actually reach out to more farmers through various marketing activities. The next case study is about pesticides. Now, Research Incorporated has basically two zonal managers, Vinod and Lanka. They are in different geographical regions and have grown their territory substantially. The potential for Vinod's market is around 6 crores and that of Lanka is around 3 crores. And obviously, because Vinod's market gains more sales potential and has more revenue generation capabilities, he enjoys a lot of attention and limelight. Now, both of them are pretty good with their jobs, and both the markets, wherever they are functioning, are growing at a healthy rate of 10% every year. The company suddenly launched a product called Proof for paddy. This was a pesticide specifically targeted towards the pests or insects that are impacting the paddy crop. Now, in spite of excellent demand, the product was a slow starter. It did not get that kind of acceptance in the market. Now, obviously, when Proof was used, it was used for paddy. Vinod's boss, Mr. Shyam, tried using it on banana and gained somewhat of a success. Now, he wanted to launch Proof for banana with a lot of pomp and glory. And he conducted a meeting with Vinod, Lanka and several other zonal managers. Now, in this case, the meeting was also declared as a success because people were completely convinced with the fact that Proof, a pesticide that is created for paddy, can be used on bananas. Returning back, Lanka convinced his boss, Ram, who was not that happy with the idea of using a paddy-related pesticide on bananas. However, the decision was taken and they came out with the product and they launched it with a lot of fanfare. The initial results obviously were encouraging. Slowly and steadily, they started seeing crop burns on the banana crop because of this particular pesticide. Initially, Lanka could explain to the farmers that this is just an overall, you know, a surface level damage and it will not impact the crop. The sales grew on a steady pace. Suddenly, there was a complaint from a particular farmer who came back saying that 4 acres of his banana plantation were impacted by burns and he was claiming for a 5 lakh compensation. And the production and marketing of Proof stopped abruptly. What we need to understand here is that every pesticide that is targeted towards a specific crop cannot necessarily impact the other crop in a similar manner. There are at times certain pesticides which will create harmful effects on several other crops. So before moving on from one particular crop to another species altogether, the company should have actually invested in a lot of field trials and researches to ensure that there were no crop burns on banana. Since they did not do it, and just because they were riding on the sale of Pruv's performance in paddy, they thought that it will impact the banana crop equally, and the entire plan failed. So it is important that we understand that every pesticide that is created is not necessarily created for every crop in a general manner. Certain pesticides are for certain species or certain kind of crops, and they have to be used in that. And if they need to be expanded to the other crops or other species, there needs to be ample testing done before the launch is made. The fourth case study is about pesticide marketing. We will now talk about Standard Industries Limited, which manufactures and markets pesticides, fertilizers, essential drugs, and many more other materials. They have a very strong and independent research and development cell with an objective of adding newer technologies to the industries. The agrochemical section of the country accounts to almost 35% of their turnover, and fertilizer and seed accounts to almost 30% of their turnover. So both put together, their specific business related to agriculture comes to around 65%. So what are the business characteristics of Standard Industries? First of all, they do a lot of personal selling, which in itself is a great achievement. They do group meetings, which are an interactive way of marketing to the farmers. They do demonstrations. They have a very strong national distribution network, which ensures that they can reach out to the most remote villages and help out the farmers get their products. They have depots, which ensures that there is a constant flow of product from their company to the last mile user. They have transport contractors who take care of their logistics and ensure that the product reaches everywhere where they want. There are preferred dealers that the Standard Industries Limited use, and who they give them a margin of around 12.5%. And they have a credit day of 30 days, credit period of 30 days that they give to each of these preferred dealers. Now, there was a situation that Standard Industries Limited came out with. They conducted a survey and they found out that the preferred dealers were not necessarily happy with a lot of things that the Standard Industries Limited was doing. First of all, the PDs were not happy with the credit period of 30 days, where they claimed that there were several other competing companies which offered 45 days credit period. Supplies were also said to be inadequate, and the company had to increase its production capacity, was one of the suggestions that the PDs came out with. Secondly, the PDs were also expected to give 30% of their overall amount as the bill, or overall amount of the bill as a booking price. Obviously, PDs were not happy with this because A, there is a 30-day credit period, which was lesser than the competition. B, they had to give 30% of whatever booking amount to the company over and on the counter. Now, basically, PDs also demanded that there were certain unsold stocks that they wanted to take, and that they wanted to make the company take back. Now, there were so many problems with PDs, and the company had to deal with them. So how did you think they will deal with it? So they hired a consultant who said that what if we remove the intermediary called PD from the channel? Sales promotion tasks was directly done by the company salesman. They already had a personal selling wing. All they had to do was strengthen it in terms of number and reach. So they completely focused their entire sales promotions and marketing activities through their personal salesman, who used to go down to the market, to the rural areas, and ensure the sales happened. Salesmen could directly book the order, take it to the depot, and arrange for the delivery for the goods and services. So if you look at the business environment for SIL in this previous slide, they already had a very effective mechanism for distribution. They had personal salesmen, they had depots, and they had transport contractors. So preferred dealers in this entire business chain were an added load which the company did not actually benefit from. So they altogether removed them from the system, reduced the cost, saved the 12.5% margin that was going to these preferred dealers, and ensured that all the problems were tackled. At times, when we look at distribution activities, we necessarily do not have to add people to our distribution channel to make it more impactful. Sometimes removing a partner can also prove to be very, very beneficial. And especially when we are talking about agrochemicals, it is very, very important for us to understand that at the rural areas, there are many different factors that impact your businesses. And the lesser number of intermediaries that you have, it will be even efficient for you to reach out to the rural farmers and make him aware about your product and start making him accepting your product completely. Thank you.